I think that we all enjoy a good story. And it seems like some people have this gift of storytelling. It seems like no matter what it is they have to tell, they can somehow entertain you or hook you into a story. There could be somebody that could say, hey, let me tell you about that time I watched paint dry. And they would find a way to make that really exciting for you to listen to. And matter of fact, you get excited about it. Some people just have that gift. And one thing that I have discovered over the years in reading my Bible is that we have an amazing storyteller at the tip of our fingers in Jesus. If you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. And I'd like for us to look at a story that Jesus tells in this chapter. Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to start reading in verse 21. I would say many people are familiar with this story, but it goes like this. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now, a lot of times we look at this and, you know, we think, well, that was very nice and thoughtful of this person, but sometimes I don't know if we realize the magnitude of what was at stake here. I would say most of you guys are familiar with the game Monopoly. It's a game that I played a lot growing up. And if you're familiar with the game Monopoly, you know that the object of the game is to see who can collect the most property and collect the most money. And then if you're the last one left with all the property and money, then you win. Now, if you're like me, you've been in many situations where you're playing that game and you get down to you and the other person and it's your turn to roll the dice. And as you're looking at the board, they have it covered in houses and hotels. And then you look at your side and all your properties are flipped over and you have two $1 bills. And you're thinking, okay, as long as I don't roll a 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 11, and 12, I should be okay. And then lo and behold, you roll the dice and you land on one of those specials you weren't supposed to. And more than likely, it's probably the one that costs the most. And so you put your piece there and then you look and they have the big grin on their face because they know it's time for you to pay up and they know that you can't do it. It's victory. So I feel like this guy has that sort of mentality in that there is so much money that he has to pay, there is just absolutely no way that he can possibly do it. And yet this guy is willing to offer some grace, offer some mercy and forgiveness for the debt that he owed. So you would think that if this was us, we would be like, hey, that is so nice of you to do that, and that we would take that and then turn around and in that gratitude be able to do that for other people. The rest of the story, as I paraphrase a little bit, he goes and finds one of his servants who owed him just a little bit. And he grabbed him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe me. Something doesn't seem to add up. Something doesn't make sense. Now, with Jesus being a good storyteller, and if you're reading this story as Jesus is presenting it, a lot of times with these stories, you can get some emotions wrapped up in this and feelings. Like, you just, for me, I couldn't understand why someone would do this after what had been done for them. And as you look at this story, the feelings and emotions that you would get by watching and reading about this guy in the story, you ever wonder sometimes if that same feeling and emotions that we get about him is the same things that we should feel about ourselves when we do exactly what he does sometimes when it comes to forgiveness? Are you good at forgiving other people? It's a very profound question at times because forgiveness is a hard thing to think about. It's a thing that people struggle with a whole lot of times. And whether you struggle with it or not, there's some things I want us to think about that maybe we haven't thought about forgiveness in this way before. Maybe you have. I don't know. But there's just something about forgiveness that people, they hold on to something about it. I don't know. It's just a natural thing for us to hold on to something that we can't seem to let go. And we like the idea of revenge because it makes us feel good knowing that we could pay somebody back for what they did to us. Or we don't want to forgive them because we want them to earn our forgiveness. And then we will forgive them when we feel like they have earned our forgiveness. And so we have all these things that we struggle with, and our natural emotions push us against wanting to do that for some reason. But what if I told you that forgiveness is not a feeling? Because I think that's the thing that we get held up on, is that we don't forgive because our feelings are telling us it's not time to. Because of how we feel, it's easier to harbor that and to hold on to it and say, because I don't feel like it, because I can't feel like it, therefore I'm not going to. But what if forgiveness is not a feeling? What if forgiveness was an action? What if forgiveness was a choice followed up with action? It's an interesting thing to think about. What if, when it comes to forgiveness, we were able to, just for right now, we were able to change the scenario a little bit? What if we could change the rule to where the way we treat forgiveness is the same way that God gets to treat forgiveness with us? What if just for a few moments we got to change the rule? Obviously that can't happen, it won't happen, because God is who He is. But let's just think for just a moment that if we could change the rule and God gets to treat forgiveness the way we treat forgiveness with other people, let me give you a few examples of what that would be like. If I say I'm not going to forgive somebody until they earn my forgiveness, well then, with this new rule in place, God can't forgive me until I earn it. I'm not going to forgive someone until they guarantee me they will never hurt me again. Well then, what if God can say, I can't forgive you until you guarantee me you won't ever sin again? I'm not going to forgive somebody until my hurt feelings for them have gone away. Then what if God is feeling the same way about you whenever you've sinned against Him? I have been reading a book, which is where I've gotten a lot of this concept of forgiveness. And there was a story in it where this guy had went to talk to his preacher or counselor, one or the other, and his wife had cheated on him, and he was having a hard time with it. And he looked at the counselor and said, I told her I forgive her, but I just don't feel like I could ever be close to her again. In which the counselor told him, well, how do you think that makes her feel? Do you think she really feels forgiven? And here was the example he gave. What if you ask God for forgiveness and God said, I'm going to forgive you, but I'll never be close to you again? And at this point, the guy started tearing up and he said, well, then I would feel like God never really forgave me. And then the counselor said, what if God said, I will forgive you and I will love you and yada, yada, yada. And then the guy said, I would feel like I had been completely forgiven. So he had to change the perspective and how he was looking at his wife when it came to forgiveness. So with that example in mind, in the same sense, we want to say, well, I'm going to forgive them, but I'm not going to forget what they did. But then what if the new rule is in place, God says, I'm going to forgive you, but I'll never be close to you again. So if we have this new rule in place, which like I said, it's not going to happen because God is who He is. He's our amazing God who gives us so much grace and love and mercy and forgiveness anyway. But if this new rule was in place, does it change the way that we think about forgiveness? If you're a Christian, you are the most forgiven person in the entire world. Hands down. The most forgiven person in the entire world. And just like it doesn't make sense in this story for this guy to owe so much, to get forgiveness that he didn't deserve, to not be able to extend that to his servant, it doesn't make sense for Christians who are the most forgiven people in the world to not turn around and extend that same type of forgiveness to other people they come in contact with, no matter what happens in this life. So here's an example that maybe all of us can do sometime to help us with this if we're struggling with it. Maybe there's somebody that has done something to you and you're having a hard time forgiving them. So here's what we can do. Sometime, sit down and make a list of all the sins that you've ever committed against God and all the sins and those sins that He's forgiven you for. Then ask yourself, whose sins bother you more? Bother you the most? The ones that you have committed against God or the ones that that person has committed against you? And see, what's interesting about that question is there's really not an easy way to answer that. Because if you say that your sin bothers you, your sin against God bothers you more than what they did against you, then there is no way you can justify holding something against them. But then if you can say that their sin against you bothers you more than the sin you've committed against God, then you either think too highly of yourself or that your sins aren't that big of a deal in God, in your eyes compared to what they've done to you. And so it's a tricky situation and it's hard to answer. But I think it's also a humbling thing that for us to look at and recognize the significance of what it is we're talking about. The more we understand and appreciate what God has done for us, it should motivate us to do the same for others. Because when you look at that list of sins that you've committed against God, one thing you can ask yourself is, well, what do you deserve based off the sins that you've committed against God? Yet, what has God done for you, even though you've had those sins anyway? I don't know if you guys saw this on the news. It's been a few months ago, but there was the trial that happened with the police officer that shot and killed this guy. And I can't remember the whole story. I think she went into his apartment, but she thought it was her apartment, and so then she pulled the trigger on him. So this trial is going on, and the guy's brother gets on the stand at the end, and this is the part where they allow family and whoever to get up there and be able to say their last words to the person that committed the murder or whatever. So the brother gets up there, and he looks at her. And I don't have his whole statement memorized, but I do remember this part the most, is that he looked at her and said, "I forgive you. And I hope that one day you'll seek Jesus, because he'll forgive you too." And in the midst of all this, he looked at the judge and asked, "Can I please go over there and give her a hug?" And so he gets up, he walks over, and he gives her a hug. And I think that what is the most powerful part about this situation is, what if in the moments where we're struggling to forgive somebody, what if in those moments that was a perfect opportunity to show somebody Jesus? Because when you think about that situation, when she goes to prison for the next however many years she has to go to prison, and even for the rest of her life, he had two options. He could have got up there and he could have talked from his human perspective and told her how he might have felt about the situation and been really hateful about it and just kind of just said whatever. And the other option was what he did was he decided to take the opportunity to talk about Christ and show forgiveness. Now, between the two choices, which one do you think is going to impact her the most the rest of her life, or that she's going to remember the most the rest of her life? The fact that Christ was involved. And even though these situations are so hard to deal with for us, in those moments, we can show Jesus in those moments more than any other situation that we could ever come in contact with. The power to show people Jesus. I thought it was interesting that Peter would ask this question. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And I think the reason why Jesus had to answer this with the elaborate, detailed story as he did is because Peter was a lot like us. Peter was wanting to forgive just so that he could forgive because he knew that's what he was supposed to do. He was looking for a number because if he could get to that number, then after he got to that number, he could go and do whatever he wanted when it came down to forgiveness. Instead of having to continue to forgive over and over and over again. And a lot of times when we have the mindset that Peter had in this situation, all that we're doing is offering empty forgiveness. It's not the same type of forgiveness that God is continually giving us every single day of our lives. If we're only willing to forgive because God told us to, and that's just the thing I'm supposed to do, then our hearts just aren't in it the way that God put his heart into it when he tries to forgive us. The last verse in this chapter that Jesus says is, So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. God cannot and will not forgive us if we're full of empty forgiveness or if we don't forgive at all. Throughout this story, it shows you what kind of heart you're supposed to have. And I underlined different things in here. There's patience, compassion, patience again, and compassion. And Jesus used those as examples to instill the idea that it's our patience and it's our compassion. It's our patience and our compassion that's going to give us the heart that we need to continually live a life full of forgiveness. Because what God does for us as Christians, when we accept that in full gratitude, what we do next, it should be a reflection of what He has done in our lives always. So tonight, I don't know where each person is individually with this concept of forgiveness. But we just need to remember that God loves us and God wants to forgive us. And He also wants us to do the same for others. And if there's anyone here tonight who has not obeyed the gospel and would like to receive God's forgiveness, or if there's anyone here tonight who's struggling with some things, would you please come while together we stand and we sing.